have been asked by many agents what my thoughts are on the NAR commission lawsuit and what should agents do differently to avoid liability. As NAR is appealing the $1.78 billion judgment laid down in November, it would not be appropriate for me to tell you what practices need changing. Look to your respective associations for any advice on that. But today I will share what I know are the basis of the claims and some thoughts on what led to these claims. In the Sitzer-Burnett versus NAR case in which the judgment was rendered, the plaintiffs, or sellers who made up the class action, claimed that the participation rule and the cooperative compensation practice unfairly forced sellers to pay inflated commission to buyers' agents. Some of the practices that supported that claim included a misrepresented obligation that to list any property in MLS services, seller had to agree to pay buyer's commission. It is my understanding that a seller did not have to agree to paying buyer's commissions, but that they were strongly encouraged to do so because most buyers do not have enough cash to pay the down payment, normal closing costs, and commission. If the commission was rolled into the purchase price, i.e. seller paid the commission from the proceeds of his sale, then buyer would be financing a percentage of that commission equal to the percentage of his loan to purchase the home. If buyer's using a 90% loan, for example, then the commission would technically be 90% financed. In fact, in a very old case in Dallas County, the court said it didn't matter what side of the ledger or closing statement a charge was on, the buyer effectively paid all closing costs. And I find that to be sound reasoning. If you think about it, whenever a buyer agrees to pay a fee that the seller normally pays, such as buyer agent commissions or owner title policy, the buyer expects a concession in sales price. I think we, the industry, could have done a better job of making it clear that sellers had a choice to share commission or not, and how their choice impacts the marketing of their home. Let the seller then choose. Other practices that lend a little credence to sellers' claims of inflated commission is, first, the practice of buyer's agents telling buyers that their service is free to the buyer. It is not free and never has been. Whether buyer pays for the service in cash at closing or seller pays it from the seller's proceeds, it is a valuable service paid by buyer. And the second practice, failure of buyer's agents to enforce the provision of our buyer's representation agreement that states if the commission paid buyer agent by seller is less than the amount agreed to in the buyer rep agreement, the buyer will pay the difference. An agent's failure to enforce that provision and simply accept a lower commission because the seller has negotiated a lesser split in MLS lends evidence to the claim that the sharing rule in MLS conspires to keep buyer agent commissions high. Failure to enforce your buyer rep agreement has been a frustration of mine for years. If you think your services are worth a certain amount, then enforce payment of that amount. Do not do your work for free. In my personal opinion, irrespective of the outcome of the appeal, certain practices will change. We will likely see a decoupling of the commissions, each party negotiating their own. We will perhaps see a negotiated tier commission offered, meaning an unbundling of some services, so that for a lesser service, a lesser fee will be due from buyer. However, I believe the practice of seller paying buyer commission out of the proceeds of the home will remain the standard, as buyers would rather finance their commissions than pay in cash at closing. This video is not intended as legal advice to any viewer. This is just to give food for thought. For any advice or direction, please look to your respective associations or attorney. I hope 2024 brings you help, happiness, humor, and prosperity. Thank you.